It's going to be over.
It's already over, too.
Okay. I have to bring my glasses now because it's kind of dark in here.
Turn the lights up all the way.
I call the January 9th, 2018 Special Projects and Facilities Committee meeting of Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and note the time.
Excellent. It's 7:02. Member Bourne's not here. Member Gaines?
Here.
Chair Brooks?
Present.
Commissioner Ludden?
Present.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Present.
Look, you started a trend. Look at that.
Very influential.
You got to put P on all these instead of
okay.
H.
Could I just read this?
You can.
Okay. Today's design review takes into account board and community input from the last meeting and reflects updated designs. Ultima New will present all three plans in their entirety, and then we will go back to each park design for input from the board and the public. Lisa, can you introduce Josephine and John of Ultima New?
I can't. I'm going to
give us a presentation.
I'm going to do a little
prelude into it before we get started with John and Josephine. So today we're going to be reviewing Woodlawn, Old Elm, Bourbon, and Jefferson. Just a review from the playground benefits that we have found in our industry. We believe they're essential to our physical, social, environmental, economic health, and economic health in the community. The Trust for Public Land, National Park and Recreation Association, and the Urban Land Institute are leading a nationwide movement to ensure that there's a park within a 10-minute walk for every person in every neighborhood in every city across America. As you know, we're a part of NRPA. State of Illinois average is 0.4 playgrounds per 1,000 residents, and I'm proud to say that Glencoe exceeds all these standards. So right now, we have a total of 14 playgrounds in Glencoe managed by two different agencies. The Park District has 12, and the School District has 2. So we have access to 1.62 playgrounds per 1,000 residents. So the state of Illinois average is 0.4, so you should see, we far exceed that. And Glencoe's community can easily walk to one or more, sometimes two or three, depending where you are, in a 10-minute, without crossing a major road, which is what we want to do nationwide. So this is just a map again of where our playgrounds are. Blue represents the 6 playgrounds that have been replaced since 2013. And as you know, probably most of those 6 have been replaced in the last 2 to 3 years. Red represents 7 older wood playgrounds that will be need to replace in the next 1 to 5 years. So as you know, when we had our capital replacement plan talk, we do have a lot of playground infrastructure to go through, so we have to be very careful how we use our resources so we can get all those playgrounds in place. Considerations when we're replacing playgrounds, ADA compliance. When the playgrounds that are now in were put in, the standards for ADA were completely different, so we have to take that into consideration. The maintenance cost, the yearly, the lifespan of it, we have to take that into account. The fall zones are much larger than current playgrounds. We're looking at neighborhoods and also community parks tonight, so we have 2 neighborhood parks, and then we have 1 community park we're looking at refurbishing. Due to budgetary constraints and neighborhood parks, we are replacing current infrastructure with similar size play equipment, so we're not going bigger in these areas, and that was a decision the board made when we budget the capital improvements a while back, because we knew we had to replace so many playgrounds. The project budget, the board has allocated a fixed amount of funds, and due to other outstanding projects, there's a desire from the board to adhere to the budget goals. Therefore, projects were designed to strict a strict budget, which is reflecting what will be presented tonight. There's also the board and staff's desire to do different theme and amenities for our playgrounds, so they're not all the same. It's our goal to have destination playgrounds, so if you would go to the Treehouse Playground in Shelton, you go to the train park at Friends, we don't want them all to look the same. We want people to actually travel, if we're a small enough community, to be able to walk a lot of these so they get a different experience with their kids. So we're not looking for identical amenities at each one. We want to be different, so you won't see everything the same. Playgrounds cost more than you think. So I always like to remind people that it's not like your playground in your backyard. They're a lot more expensive than you think. So for example, Friends Park in Glencoe, was 500,000. Shelton Park was 376, and that was using the existing footprint, so we didn't have to put curbs and stuff like that in. Astor Park was 195. West Park and School, and as you all know, that was a joint effort, so we used funds from both agencies for 700,000. We also often hear about Winnetka because it's so close to us. Why don't you do that? We want to give an idea how much Winnetka costs. So Dwyer Park in Winnetka was 478. Hubbard Woods, the new one that was put in, was 2 million. And we hear a lot about Maggie Daly Park, which has a lot of custom playground features. Was over $45 million, and that is not even design fees. So that's the low end. That's conservative. So we just want to say, when I saw this in Maggie Daly Park, yeah, I love Maggie Daly Park.
So we're going to do that
next year. We're going to do that next year.
That's how we get it done.
So the project budget and playground footprints for the three we're talking about tonight. So Vernon Jefferson, which is a neighborhood park, is 225 with a square feet of 16,700 square feet. Old Elm is 225 with a square feet of 13,000. And Woodlawn is 500 with a 43,000 square foot. And that's our community park in that sector of town. Oops. You can.
Did we, the 500,000 for Woodlawn,
yes.
Did we have like a base and then a contingency? Or
that is the contingency used.
That's the total
budget, yes.
And what was the base?
It was 300 plus the 200 contingency. There you go. Just to give you a timeline, we started discussing, actually, a lot of these playgrounds when our master plan was done, so it actually goes back 5 years ago that these need to replace. But we started actually talking about these playgrounds in March of 2017. In March, Vernon Jefferson was removed due to, infrastructure?
The condition.
Yeah. In July, the staff and board members began the planning process. We did the parks tour in August, you recall. We don't have that up there. September, we decided to formalize the three-year capital plan and set these projects into the budgets. We hired Alpha New to begin design services. And in October, the board gave initial directions on the design concepts. December, we reviewed the initial concepts and got community input. And we're back today to talk about the new designs and get feedback and hope for approval in January. And then if we stay on that timeline, we'll look for April, May to bid out the projects, and the construction will begin late spring, early summer. So now let's see those designs. So as Lisa said, these take into account community input from the last meeting and reflects updated designs. These are all currently within budget. So anything that's added, something else has to be taken out, or the budget has to be increased. So just so you're all aware of that. Without further ado, I will turn it over to John and Josephine from Altamanu, and let them show you the great designs.
Thank you very much.
There you go.
Very glad to be here. Good show tonight, lots of people. Wish you'd been here for the first round of concerts. Absolutely. Good to see you. Happy New Year.
And if you don't mind, let's prove you're here.
Oh,
okay.
Where's your turn? Good for you. All right. Anyway, we're delighted to be here, and it's the first night we haven't had snow, and I haven't been freezing. My nephew came from Ireland and said, it's a tad bit cold here, isn't it? Absolutely blue. Anyway, watching this last time, December 5th, we presented concepts for Old Elm, Vernon, and Woodlawn. They were only concepts. They were not focused on costs. And we were looking for your input, the board's input, for design direction, which we received, and then tonight we're going to see the updated plans, the concepts with the information that was collected, and then what actually happened to those concepts after we talked to manufacturers and got costs. Hotel. So here's the existing playground. I'm not going to show hundreds of photographs, you know, well, I'm sure. Here it is, all its beauty. to note the site drops down fairly severely towards the train tracks, which limits the use. Dense vegetation to the north. Kids use those spaces, of course. It's popping along at speed here. And then there's a drainage structure which creates a barrier. And then if you look back from the north, it's very dense and handsome. But volunteer vegetation, a lot of invasives. Anyway, the design constraints, we have to avoid existing mature trees. We don't want to take out trees, we don't have to. So that reduces the area you can really use. We have to avoid that slope, we don't want retaining walls, and we need to use trusted local or relatively local manufacturers. This is an issue because people keep on saying, oh, look at this cool thing we've seen in the magazine, why don't we get one of those? And it comes from Stuttgart, and it takes 18 months to get it, and it breaks, and then you can't get a spare part. And then Chris will be killing us.
Yes.
Okay. Community comments from last presentation about Old Bell. We have a series of concepts. Lisa mentioned the idea of themes. So we had a series of concepts based on music. Because the playground's right up against the tracks. Some community members didn't particularly like that. They also stressed that the playground has to serve multiple age groups. They want equipment that had more levels and platforms, which was very different from what we showed. And that it should be, which should complement the local architecture, which is very mixed, but there's some very good mid-century modern buildings, and also keep some open space. Here's some of the ideas from last time. And this was the plan. So you come in and you go around a circuit. There are no paths in the area, so this is somewhere where the kids could come. And kids love playing in circles, okay? So they'd run around. And then rumble strips to make some sound, a mound with the gathering spot, and then various pieces of equipment, and down at the south end, swings, which are always the most important. And some things to note about how, a sand pit over here. We often try and get this sort of shape, because kids love to run around, also to get places where you can change that direction, and like catch up with people or whatever. Most play is actually in circular, in circuits. Okay, so the next one is smaller because of course everything costs more, but we kept the play, the path all the way around with these rumble strips which make a tiny bit of noise when the kids go over them. Up here is a mound. It's nice to have a slightly higher area for kids to be able to look out over the playground. And then a big bowl where small intimate gathering can take place. Sandboxes here with a bench. And then two pieces of equipment, one for 5 to 12 and one 2 to 5. There was a request to keep the 2 to 5 over this side and not over towards the tracks. Okay? And then swings, mounds, and a picnic open space. As I said, play follows a certain route. Children should have variation, contain a symbolic high spot, large and small gathering spaces, so you've got that, you've got this, and you've got a larger space. Must be shortcuts, and there are, and it should be accessible from all directions, and still have green space. So we made sure there was still green space for picnics. Typical mid-century design, very horizontal, made up of rectangular planes and cubes. No big pitches here. Same here, you can see the same thing. So you're always presenting a rectangle or a cube. So we went off and we got a cube. It's a new piece of equipment. It's incredibly compact. They described it as structural with a modernistic feel. 2 to 5, multiple platforms like we were requested, and it packs in 14 different activities into a small space. So this is just for 2 to 5. We've also got 5 to 12. I'm showing this one. I know there are different colors. Lots of them. I'll show a different color set because I know you've got your own particular sort. But you can see there are multiple levels. You've got almost like a tree house. You can climb, you can play together. There's a slide. And it could be in Glencoe colors if you wish. But what is incredible about this is that every single surface has a plane element. Everything. It is literally constructed of play elements. Oop, I missed one, but we'll keep going. And they can be shared. This thing is very delicate.
It is.
But it's also got inside and outside, which is, I welcome, which the kids like. It's really good.
It is.
Just to go back to this wee fella. So it's also got perspex back to it so you can see inside. The venti is, of course, for older children so they can get a cup of coffee at the playground. So multiple elements, again, it's a larger version of the same concept. So all these things packed in. I won't read, but you can see it's quite extraordinary. Here it is in very strong colors. But you can see there's a double slide over here, a single slide, different levels, all sorts of different things to practice balance. Here from the other side. And it's horizontal. And we're showing this, I know these colors may not appeal to you, we're showing this image to show all the different things that can take place on this piece of equipment. We actually happen to like the gray. It does go with the mid-century model, but we're expecting you would probably like a different color range. But you can see every inch of this thing is usable.
Has this been installed anywhere local?
Certainly in the area, yeah. There would be somewhere. We're not quite sure. It's relatively new. But it's landscape structures, and they're based here.
So it's the same manufacturer that's made all of our other play equipment, so we can stand by
it.
May not be so new.
That's a very good request. We'll definitely ask.
John, when you say you can change the colors, is all of that metal painted or powder coated, or is it changing the material?
It's powder coated. So if we go back, sorry, we'll be seeing there. This is their color range for both.
Oh, okay.
So we can select whatever way
selection.
Yeah.
Really is.
In terms of maintenance, maybe one color is preferable to another in terms of just wear and tear.
Yeah, typically we find that some of the brighter colors have a little bit more fading over time. Mm-hmm. Also, when you have a little bit more earth tones and you get a scratch on the post or something like that, it doesn't necessarily become immediately evident versus like some of the lighter colors where if you get a rough spot 8, 10, 15 years down the line, it can be a little bit more evident than, I mean, we touch these things up with a can of paint, so it's not impossible, but the darker colors definitely weather better in our environment. Which is why we've selected them for the last three projects.
It's a lot of play. Upper body, lower body, there's the type.
And so then there's swings.
This would be a piece of equipment.
A separate set of swings.
We would forecast the lifespan of this to be 18 to 25 years versus the 10 to 12 years we're seeing with our wood equipment now. Again, so almost double what we have.
Okay, so this is the larger one, the venti in the middle. This is the smaller cube. And here you've got the swings at the side. And also, we talked about the potential of using some of the area that kids are already using to the north. We're well away from a future bike path, so we keep that open. So we stay well away from the sloped area. So there's a possibility of just making something more out of the space up here that kids are already using, opening it up so that people can sit and actually see. They don't have to worry about their kids disappearing.
So it looks like you guys are going to take out a lot of
do that. Hold on.
I'm really sorry, but the way that, because it's a committee meeting, we'll have a time for comment. They'll do their presentation, and then we'll have time for comment. So I'll let you know you're first up.
My fault.
Okay.
No problem. A lot of trees in here have already been removed. There's a lot of ash trees, and they will continue to be removed, unfortunately. There are a lot of elms as well.
And buckthorn.
Buckthorn is in there, too?
Invasive species? Yeah.
Buckthorn?
Okay. So a little bit closer look.
That's phase two, right?
So we open up, add some benches around these crystals. Eventually, they become part of the playground. The idea is to create ways of entering it, so it's something different, a little tunnel. And then remember this sketch. We have it more open. People were concerned last time they wouldn't be able to see their kids in there, so we try and keep it more open. And then we get a standard arbor, metal arbor, and then add pieces to it.
That would be phase two, so
right.
The first part.
That's
so
not
this
part
is
of this
in the future,
budget.
Right?
That's to do later. Okay.
We have put a little bit in, so if that's something for discussion, if you don't want it in this
that's
particular
where we are.
Part.
Oh, okay. Right now. Okay.
So we can afford it.
A little bit of it. Okay, cool. Okay.
So still
do it all.
All right.
Okay.
So it depends cool. What you want to do. And we were trying to get a romantic feeling. And just not to forget that long term, this could be an extraordinary park. That you could still keep tree cover between the park and the houses, but there's plenty of space in here to continue to expand and maybe even add a wee bridge over the driver square. Okay. Shall I move on?
I think we want to discuss this playground first, and we'll move to the next
then
one.
We'll move to the next one.
Is that okay with you?
Things are fresh in people's minds.
Yeah.
You want to discuss
yeah.
this?
Yeah.
Go back.
So the way it's usually handled is we ask for comments from the public. We kind of limit it to 3 minutes a person so that things don't get
long
go on for too long. And that allows us then to have board members to make comments. We'll kind of wrap up with the board. Okay, so I know who's first.
So is it... I get 3 minutes and I'm done. I'm
yeah. I mean, listen, it's not, I'm not, you
okay.
know, the police,
we're not
so,
sure.
You know, I'm, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, just a couple questions. So, it looks like the main thing is you guys are going to build into the forest a little bit. So
just a little.
Just a little. And then on the southern side, it looks like you will be taking a lot of space that's now currently the lawn space or a lot of grass.
We're taking some, yeah.
Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So a comment I would say is so personally, I grew up down the street from the park, a little bit older, so I play less there now, but still play. But I played a lot as a child. So one thing that I loved was having that big field to run around and play in. So just first glance, seeing that space is being slightly intruded, I think that would be something to consider. In terms of going into the forest, I like the idea of, you know, having sort of that magical, enchanting area that you are thinking about. But at the same time, you know, it's always good to keep trees and keep the forest as they are. Yes, there are some invasive species, buckthorn. I've chopped down plenty of that there, and then Skokie lagoons as well. So that would be my first comment.
Okay. Just.
Yeah.
I went there a few nights ago and just shone my headlights directly at it. Is the play space you're referring to north or south?
It would be
north near where the
right
there. Oh, it is the south area.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a small area, but valuable when you have nowhere else.
But we had to. We have a fall zone, remember, for the swing, so we had to go into the open space a little bit to put that fall zone.
I have to remember, just to replace a piece of equipment, we almost need twice the amount of space now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So to get in 2 to 5 play equipment, 5 to 12 play equipment, and to get in swings, it really does gobble up a lot of space. So that's one of the issues.
Okay, so that is because you're looking to get more play equipment in the space.
Same model.
It was requested by the community that we should have play equipment for as many different age groups as possible, which is usually 2 to 5 and 5 to 12. And we like to keep them separate so the large ones don't worry the wee ones. Right? So we have two pieces. So one in the center and one here. And once you do that, and add the play, the new fall zones, it's much bigger than it would have been.
I think it's important to point out, I don't know from the graphic if it's really evident, you can see the pieces of play equipment and then the lighter shaded areas around them and then the darker shaded areas. So all the lighter areas are what we would classify as fall zones. So those are the areas where other pieces of equipment can't overlap, the distance between them. So while you look at the equipment and you think, wow, you know, there might be 7 or 8 feet from the bottom of that slide to the sidewalk, that's all that those co-designated fall surfaces to protect kids and any real end users of the playground. So, but anyway, thank you.
Matt, my response also is that yes, the swings are in that space, but we've tried not putting swings in playgrounds before.
It's that dynamic of trying to get everybody something, and it's fitting it in a specific space that's always the challenge. Hi, can you just say your name?
Yeah, and, so yes. I'm Anne McPhee. I live across the street from the park. Modern houses that you showed. I have a 15-year-old and a 17-year-old. This is our neighborhood, actually. This is a little portion of it. So I was wondering if you could flip to the part where you showed the extended part, like the sort of future.
To the north?
So you could come and see.
It was your last and the second to the last slide.
There you go. That one?
Keep going. No, whatever were you
It was the visionary plan, John.
The visionary?
The next one.
Okay, so I think if you actually are in the space, you could see that all that proposed park is, first of all, it's part of the water management system in our community, and our community has had a history of real problems with flooding, which have been significantly addressed by a major drainage.
Stormwater detention.
Yeah. That's part of our just natural water management system in our community. It's also, even though it's a little scrubby and there's buckthorn, the train is significant, and I noticed that you talked about train noises as being kind of charming, and train noises are charming when they're far away. They're not charming when they're across the street from your house. So I definitely do not want to see any vegetation removed. If anything, I saw in one of your other, for one of the other parks, you were talking about replanting trees. I would vote for replanting trees rather than taking anything out. It's also a tremendous wildlife resource. So we have hawks and owls. We have deer that have their babies there. So it's a beautiful space.
It's habitat.
And it would be awful to have that.
And that's
have that natural space affected.
Yeah.
The other thing is that it's our I know you talked about wanting to have destination park. It's not a destination park. Right. It's a community park because it's really hard to get to our neighborhood. You can't. It's narrow, windy streets. We don't have sidewalks. The only way to get to our neighborhood is to either cross Green Bay Road, where there's really not great crosswalks, or to come across the train tracks. Right. So nobody comes to our park except for our neighborhood. So there's no need to expand it and make it really big. It's just a little neighborhood park.
Yeah.
It's super cool. Think of all these ideas. I think we have to kind of focus on what our neighborhood really needs, and that's just a place for our kids to play and to play safely. And as a parent, the thing that terrifies you about this neighborhood is A, the train, and B, the street. So when you extend the park that way, basically you're putting kids right in between two hazards. And if you're a caregiver in the park on the right-hand side, you can't see all the way down. So you don't want your kids like, oh, let's go over to the Lee Bridge. You want them at the swings, right? Because there's two.
I think we're talking about stuff that may never happen, so that, can we focus on the playground?
Not even under construction should be under construction.
Yeah,
under
right.
And even
yeah.
That, you know, so the park needs to be focused on the really the existing part of the park.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's, it just looked to me on the pictures like there's a lot of concrete involved. So you have this sort of pad, and then you have this trike path thing. And again, I think as our community, and we've also been emailing a lot amongst us. Not everybody was able to come here. With people were saying we want nature, we want natural spaces for our children to play. Again, we have, you know, water issues in our neighborhood. So to put more concrete doesn't make
okay.
sense.
Can I answer that?
Yeah.
First of all, with ADA, we have to provide access. So there's going to be a path of some sort. Whatever.
Does it have to go all the way
around? It doesn't have to go all the way.
Yeah, so.
But we found, and I don't know how many, we've been doing this since, I've been doing this since 1980, and that if you are going to put a path in, to put a circular path in works the best, because kids like to go around and around.
We don't, I don't
so that adds to the play.
So if you do
yes.
that, then, and you say, okay, we won't do that, and we cut that off, then access for ADA issues becomes difficult too. So you're saying, okay, we've got some of the most difficulties, well, tough, you can't come in. So I don't think that's where we want to go. So we do want to provide access. So that means you are going to have a path of some sort.
What is that path made
of? Concrete.
It's concrete.
Concrete.
It is concrete. So it's not like now many parks have, you know, it's a composite material. I don't know if they even create a little bit.
They're not allowed to do
yeah.
more with ADA.
We go through this right now.
Yeah.
If you, there are materials that do allow, that are porous issues, you have to have soil below that allows the water to percolate.
Which we do.
And the soil around here, as you all know, is clay and it's soft. So it would be a waste of money to put that in. The other problem, if it's constantly wet, it starts to disintegrate. So you find in a few years, he's replacing it or become a maintenance nightmare. So there are real issues with the type of soil and the environments you put things like that into.
Just keep in mind when he says there are other materials, they can be of a granular type, but they have to be solid also to be classified as ADA accessible. So like a decomposed granite is not considered accessible, believe it or not. I hope one day it will be, but.
Mm-hmm.
So we're limited between, you know, asphalt, concrete, bricks becomes a maintenance issue because they start to move. So we've found that in public settings and for the constraints we have with accessibility, the concrete at the moment is the least expensive.
And if I could just finish then, the whole issue of like the swings and the trade-off, it seems to me like what you're saying is either we trade off our soccer field against swings.
Is there a soccer field?
Trade-off. So I'm wondering if you could sort of throw that back at you and say, well, could we trade off, say, the hill or a smaller play space because the field where the kids play is important, not just from the kids playing, but also it is a small community, we're pretty tight in, and this is where we have community gatherings, and it's a very important focal point for our community, and so I would hate to see that the trade-off is the swing versus our
okay, go
on. I apologize for not, we were not here for the first meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly what is the problem we're trying to solve here? Why is do nothing not an option?
Because it's falling apart.
Yeah.
All the neighborhoods have a life.
Right.
Yeah. And at a certain end, you know, a certain point, they will start becoming dangerous.
Okay, what about replacing kind?
You can't
do it anymore.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get. That's the problem.
Right.
So, no. What we have here in Glencoe is the brand is called Timber Form. So they're made out of wood. So they are no longer made. So the challenge with wood is you see a piece of rotted wood and you think, well, can't you just go over to Home Depot and get another piece of wood? What that does for us is that that can transfer the liability of the manufactured equipment to the park district and to the community. So you might have a piece of equipment that you've repaired in-house over and over and over again. You now have the liability of that entire piece of equipment. So the pieces of equipment that we're looking at now are modular. If we have a piece of equipment break, we order a new piece from the manufacturer, it comes out of Minnesota, we install it within a week. So when you look at the playground, oftentimes people look at it, whether they're up close, the issues that we have with these particular pieces are below grade, we have subsoil rot on the posts, those types of things, where the fasteners go in. So they may not appear immediately degraded, but we know that what the lifespan is. Unfortunately, when we put the wood playgrounds in, we were really hoping for the 15 to 18 year lifespan, and really with the environmental conditions we got here, we're closer to the 10 to 12. So we know we want to replace this proactively versus once we've had an issue or having to go out there and just totally remove the structure like we did at Vernon and Jefferson.
But then let me see if I understand this correctly. The challenge then is you can't just replace in kind with a non-wood structure because of the fall zone.
Correct.
That's what I don't
know. That is one thing.
Could you quantify that? How big is the fall zone and how...
Okay, so imagine you have a swing set that was installed in 1991. So in 1991, you went out to the park and you thought that's a great spot for a swing set and you put it in. And you put some wood chips around it and the wood chips are, say, 6 feet back from the top of the swing bar. Okay, so imagine in your head on that swing set you have to be 6 feet from either side and 5 feet off the sides in 1991. So what you end up with is a 20, 25 square foot area that has to have what we would call designated play surface. So those wood chips are not just wood chips. They're specially manufactured for that use. So in 2018, that space might be 25% larger.
Actually, it's 12.
It's 12 now, yes. It's 12 feet from each side of the access.
Double.
Okay, I understand. Thank you.
Yes. So, and it, anecdotally, I can say confidently, it's bigger now than every piece than when that playground was installed, which it was compliant when it was installed, but it's just the code has changed over the years as the industry has evolved.
And I think there are other code issues with the equipment themselves, like catments and spacing and how big the joints, they're no longer making things like that. So when you have your playground examined, see if it meets standards, most of these don't anymore. So you can't replace
the joints. Go ahead, just state your name.
Sure, my name is Soledad McGrath. I'm also from this neighborhood and on Terrace Court. And I think it's, I have three children, 8, 11, and 13. There is a spectrum, and they actually all still really enjoy the park, even the slummy team. and I think it's lovely that the park is being renovated. I think the two play structures are fantastic. I would just reinforce 2 points. The idea that it is a destination park isn't a reality.
That's not what we meant.
I want to clarify something. It was, the way you stated it, it sounded like this was a destination.
Oh, no.
She's trying to distinguish between a neighborhood playground, which is what this is.
Yes.
And a destination playground, which is Shelton, French,
and Woodlawn.
Woodlawn.
And
yes.
West.
And West.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is
a neighborhood.
It's a tiny little, they call it pocket park.
Right.
A little neighborhood park.
We were told that people from, like, this one go in there.
Yes. Right. And we don't expect people from outside your neighborhood to venture into this. I mean,
well, probably from Takeoff they do, because we've heard that. We've heard people that do.
Yeah.
Right.
So this is an idea. I know our park is a community park, a neighborhood park, but just remember last time I also mentioned the point that park district uses our park, especially in the summertime, and the issue being also raised up because there are no sidewalks. Because summer camps or preschool groups, they always come and they walk around people's property because, as you said, there is no space.
Right. Well, just to clarify, if they have to, I mean, if they're going there, they will walk on. It's actually Glencoe property, the parkway, like it's, you don't own the, we live on a sidewalk, those streets, so I unfortunately know a lot about this, but the village owns a certain, and I'm imagining they're walking along there, just to clarify. If you may finish.
Just wanted to say something. Lisa. I just kind of want to clarify one quick thing about the desk, because I have this idea when we talked about Lakefront Park, we defined that as a destination park.
Right.
You know, we're not advertising Old Elm Park and Highland Park to import their residents to this particular site. From our perspective, what we don't want to do is pick one playground out of the catalog and say, well, this is what we're going to install in all 13 Glencoe parks.
Right. That's
we want the differentiation to be, because we understand people are walking to this park all the time, but frankly, 13 exactly the same playgrounds would be no fun. So that when we're talking about destination parks, we're talking about differentiation. So each park may have a unique element, but we're not looking to change the character of the neighborhood or the park in that process.
Right. Right. We're just hoping that other Glencoe people will, you know, have a different experience if they should come into Old Elm,
right,
which we hopefully do.
And there are play dates there frequently.
Right.
And that's good. And
right,
by the way, all of this is great.
Yeah.
I want kids. I love to hear that kids are going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you've got a very unique little neighborhood there. You know, it's very much its own community. And it's sort of the model that I wish was everywhere.
Yeah.
So
thanks.
My only point was that I just want to be more
I'm sorry, retaining the field.
So
things
like
play
areas, that's really important for the older kids that are fading out of their play equipment.
Oh, we can.
That's your
other choice. Considering swapping the mound area with the swing, maybe putting the swing there so that you can keep some open play field for soccer, for football, or catch.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Go ahead. Just say your name.
I want to second that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to put this. I don't like sandboxes. I just see them as cat litter trays. So they seem to be everywhere. You mentioned that the permanent access to the concrete. Okay, fair enough. How about the bits around the play equipment themselves? Is that going to be the spongy flooring thing, or is that going to be concrete?
No,
it's not going to be concrete. The only concrete pieces are this walk-up. You have an entry with some bike racks, an area for strollers, and then this is the concrete piece. It's got benches. That's it. All of this is fiber, which is soft material, and this is fiber.
It's the wood chips
which we've
seen now. I mean, effectively,
specialized wood chips. Yeah.
One of my wife's comments was, please no more wood chip.
Sorry. We're not putting wood in place.
The other thing, I'll second somebody else who said this. I think this is a great pack. Well done, and good that you're committed to doing something about it. What we'd really like is some form of fencing between the, well, not just the railway track, but before the railway track. It's kind of like a big ditch that is often full of water. If there was some kind of fencing there, especially if you're going further north, is it?
Yes.
Further north through the woods, that would be great. Because at the minute, although our kids haven't mentioned over there, at some point.
And now there are kids coming over the bridge using it as a shortcut, and they're coming over the railroad tracks into the park. And it's very cool.
But I don't. Can you imagine some kind of fencing we could install that would prevent that? You know, I'm just. You know, it's horrifying. It's horrifying. But I just. You know, other than
they
watch your kids.
Turn. I mean, now like the one that there is right now.
Yeah.
There used to be a fence there, and you can see remnants of it, but it is completely collapsed.
I think it's a real
In terms of lawn planning, I think it's important. Yeah, I understand that code changes and there's things that you cannot foresee, but I come from the grounds where it's better to get it right the first time than to get it wrong and make changes. So again, obviously you could not have foreseen code changing, and now we are dealing with that issue. So I think it's very important that as we go through this discussion, that as a committee, you really value the local, if you're looking for a local community park, to go around and gather insight from local community members. Yeah, it can take a little bit more time, and I understand that there's probably some monetary costs as well.
Yeah.
But ultimately, if you are preaching a community-based park and you don't want to just drop 13 of the same, I think it's very important to have meetings like this, but also maybe go out and speak to local community members and really just take the time to gather their insight. If you don't mind, just last little thing. There is a tree that's very important to me that is in this park. It was planted in honor of my grandma passing away. And I know there is another tree that was planted for a neighbor's loved one who had passed away as well. If I see correctly, it looks like those trees will be taken out by this space that's being added in the south. Is that incorrect?
No, we're not going to take out trees.
Well, we don't know. We don't have any, in our books, we don't have any memorial trees that are planted by the park district in this park.
But we have
there are two that were planted.
That by park district or people?
These are small trees, so you may not see them as like big trees that overcome taking them out.
Okay.
So let's go back to the memorials, and we made sure not to take out those trees.
Yeah.
We haven't taken any major trees out. That's part of why this plan is
park district
so difficult to finalize, because
who knows, right?
Like,
I don't know.
When flipping, for instance, the swings to the north, we can look at it, but the space gets narrow up there between existing major trees.
Yeah.
So it might not work, but we can look at it.
So in order to salvage the trees, it may be impossible with the fall zone to move the swings.
Right. I mean,
yeah.
Or have the swings.
Or have the swings.
Or have the swings.
Also, people
yeah.
seem to think that if you do something a couple of feet from the tree, no big deal.
Yeah.
But you know you've got 30, 40, 50 feet of roof structure.
Yeah.
So
that's
it's
also
really
true.
Issues.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's
good.
One last time. Yeah.
There's
two of them.
You discussed about the current structures of timber because of the water and damp around the area and the lack of drainage. They didn't fare as well. Well, you know, water affects metal too.
Mm-hmm.
So how confident are you that the type of structure that's being used can last 18 months?
Nothing lasts forever. I know that for
well,
sure.
15, but
I know that for sure. There's nothing we can do that's going
to... Yeah.
That
seems quite optimistic.
Yeah.
I can tell you, I can actually speak to that. So. I know that other districts have had this exact situation, and the one benefit to metal is that it's a standard piece that comes out of a factory. So if 16, part of our regular inspection process, as crazy as it sounds, is to actually look at these footings and to, you know, strategically select one or two or three footings a year and actually excavate them to double check it. You can put a new post in. I mean, it's not ideal, but, you know, the wood that we have here is very different than the wood that you have on, say, a deck in your backyard. So a deck in your backyard, the wood has preservatives in it. Playground wood is prohibited from having preservatives because, you know, the reality is kids eat the wood. There's skin-to-skin contact on it. That's part of the challenge with wood playgrounds is, you know, when we were growing up, wood playgrounds had preservatives. They used wolvenizing and creosote and lots of really scary chemicals, and these playgrounds are from a time when they could not use those preservatives. So the wood is really just a piece of untreated wood outside. So that's really what's accelerated the decay versus a piece of treated lumber like you might make a deck out of or a flower pot or something of that nature. So these playgrounds from these manufacturers are in place all over the Midwest. They have very well documented 18 to 25 year lifespans. It's really depending on usage. It's not necessarily environmental conditions. We don't have salt water, sea air. Those are the types of things that can really be tough on metal playgrounds.
Okay. Just, and we're going to wind up because we have three playgrounds to talk about, so we're going to wrap it up. Does anyone have anything that hasn't been said yet?
Yes.
Okay, I'll go to you.
I'm Erica Neen, and I've been there for 31 years. And this is my family that's up here. And it's changed and evolved. And I watched these boys grow up, and that opens the space plane down every day. And something that's very unique about our park is day in the life of our park. It starts at 6 a.m. He's out there with his dog, walking his dog, my husband's walking his dog. They all say good morning, have a good day, they all want to start. stand together because we're very vigilant about keeping our neighborhood clean. The men and the women are going to work speaking the morning. They go to work 9 o'clock, the babysitter show up with the younger children. They're in the sandbox. I know you didn't like the sandbox. They leave, and then you'll see Joe and I walking our dog. Wilma comes by. We all stand in the park and talk. Go home. 12 o'clock, park district shows up. They play. 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you've got every age group. I'm 62 as of yesterday. I'm out there. Everybody comes. We're out there. We like use this park. And some of the things, because of the water problems, it's in the summer, mosquito haven. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if in any of the vegetation you plant, if there's anything that can be done to help. I mean, they come, they spray, but there's nights at 6 o'clock where it's like, we gotta go home. This is that's a big problem. I hate to see you destroy our deer habitat. That wood is super beautiful. The deer in the winter are beautiful.
Like that.
And we were all out there to make sure that deer. And this is the first time I've seen the deer before. One neighbor had the baby in his backyard. His window. It's about to come across 3, 4, 5 of them. They go in their backyard. They go back home. That's their playground. And they need it. They need a place to go. And we hate to see that destroyed, but I think most important is those trees that have been planted and shot that before me are so important because we all contributed over 3 years. Letters go around, we all have money, the trees get planted. Those are people's hearts.
Right.
And they have to be moved.
No, we've already kind of gone over that. Then,
but I'm also concerned about the bees. If it's with the wood, we have a lot of bees. We were able to go in the park for a while. I don't know if there's anything with the wood fence that we love so much that goes around the park. There's a lot of bees building underground. I don't know if there's any problem.
No. So I would say that with any outdoor space and wood, you know, we know we're going to have pests and insects. I would encourage anybody, you know, as crazy as it sounds, call up. We'll go out there. That's the way to do it. I mean, you know, on 100 park acres and at the height of the season, we probably get 3 to 4 bee calls a week.
Yeah,
I mean, it's
you know, it's yeah. Like a little
well, sure.
Trail. Yeah. That park. It's really bad.
But this shouldn't have.
I'm just going to speak a little bit to site drainage.
No,
so right now the existing playground doesn't have any drainage.
Yeah.
So we have clay soil, wood chips, wood equipment.
Okay.
So what the industry standard is now, we're not draining this like it's an athletic field. Unfortunately, that's just not accomplishable within the scope of our budget. But the actual playground, the area encompassing the equipment will have under